All right. Welcome, everybody. It's 4 o'clock and it's Terry.
And Jerry, how excited are you that I'm back?
I'm very excited. I don't know about all our listeners, but I'm excited. I missed you last week, so.
I appreciate that. I was out having a family adventure, so I'm not sure how much you shared. However, I was out west because both of my children are moving out west, and I spent time with both of them, getting them set up in their lives. But I did miss you, and I did miss being here as well on Thursday.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I got to be honest.
It was great, but you didn't like it.
No, I didn't. It was definitely all by myself. So I'm glad you're back. And there was a lot of things that happened last week where you were away as well. So you missed our, fortunately, our final show at the Hardway on Friday night. We said goodbye to Steve and Lisa. And we're introducing and we introduced our new venue that we'll be doing our Friday night show at the Loaf and Ale with Derek and his team.
Yeah, we did a big announcement on social media this week about it, and I have a famous line by Dr. Seuss that I use all the time when chapters close, and we've used it several times in our life.
Yeah.
But we quoted, "Don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened."
And I agree.
That's very appropriate in this situation. So we had a great stint at Hardway and had lots of fun working with Steve and his team. It was fantastic. It just is time to turn the page and we're moving on. So we are announcing our new residency at the Loaf and Ale tomorrow night. And we're all very excited about that.
Yeah, very much. I'm, there'll be a lot of growing pains maybe for everything going on. But yeah, I'm excited
like
as well.
Like now when you're fidgeting with the board while you're supposed to be talking?
Yeah, it was weird. It just kind of turned off. So I wanted to make sure that everything was good before we did our first song. I didn't get any time to prep on this piece. We should probably talk about Taylor Swift. She is the news of the day.
I wish I was there.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was listening to the radio in Toronto. I was in the Toronto area all week and until today. And the amount of hype around the 6 shows that she's going to put on and the amount of money that they believe the city is going to bring in. And herself, it was something like $18 million per show. And that doesn't include merch.
Good for her.
Yeah. And they have a merch building or a merch area set up just for people not going to the show. So I've never heard of that they actually have concessions outside. Apparently there's 5 levels of security you got to go through.
Good.
But outside.
We saw the movie Trap.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But outside that kind of the maybe zone 1 or 2, they have a merch thing set up and they were bringing in tractor trailer loads of merch for Taylor Swift fans that couldn't get to the show. And I heard tickets today. I was listening to the radio coming back from Toronto before we got here, and they were saying tickets today were averaging from $2,000 for really bad seats.
Oh, boy.
Per seat all the way up to $99,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's got that kind of money?
I don't know. Well, there was a guy who was apparently a professor, and he's going to see the show. He teaches a Taylor Swift kind of thing.
Like a music class?
Like a music, but it's just Taylor Swift. And he's a prof. I don't know where he was from. I missed the beginning part. But his wife bought him tickets. And the announcer was like, I hope she didn't buy you tickets today because they're going from 2,000 to 99. And then when he got off the air, she was like, hey, he's a prof. He can probably afford the 99,000 ones. Who knows? But pretty cool. Like, I mean, unbelievable. I wish I was going as well. We were talking about buying concert shirts and stuff. It would be a concert shirt I would buy and never wear.
Then I wouldn't buy one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Speaking of nonsense ways to spend our money.
Yeah, I know. It's so incredible that, you know, this person has like just been the apex of all different things. So,
oh, she is the man.
Yeah.
Have you listened to her song?
Yeah.
I am the man. She is awesome. I'm a big fan. And I love hearing people buzz and rally around something positive. It's good energy. It's good for the economy. It's bringing families together. Like parents have to take their younger kids and it's something that everyone can appreciate and enjoy together. And it is way better than last week when everyone was talking about the U.S. election.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that.
No. So let's actually talk about what today's show is about. And it's about, for the most part, it's about inductees into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame, but specifically songwriters, right? We're going to talk about songwriters?
Yeah. In September, there were 4 new people inducted into the Canadian Music Writer Hall of Fame. So we thought that we would share our thoughts on that. I thought it would be interesting whether we agreed or disagreed with who was inducted. And I thought if there was anybody we thought got overlooked, but to be honest, I didn't get that far down in my research to see who had previously been inducted. So we'll just go with what we think of the current people. So in September, Sarah McLachlan, Tom Cochran, Diane Tell, and Jim Keddie and Greg Keeler from Blue Rodeo were all inducted into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame at Massey Hall.
It's funny that they just specifically call out Jim Keddie and Greg Keeler, and they don't actually call out the rest of the band members. I know the band is kind of...
Well, I think they were the writers.
Yeah, but so they're saying that none of the other band members get writing credit?
I don't know.
It's just funny. I would have thought that the whole band would have got some writing credit. And when you speak of Massey Hall, for me, it brings back some really cool teenage childhood memories. And we were talking about before the show started, and I've been there on multiple occasions, but I can remember two specifically. So I was there and I saw Erasure play, and they played, I think I saw them in 90. And Massey Hall went through a big renovation, but I saw them in the old version of Massey Hall when it was still rough and grumble. And then I saw Bare Naked Ladies there in 93 as well. So I've seen other bands play there, but those are the two big ones that I remember. Really, really cool venue. I loved lining up for Massey Hall and down the, you know, the side going towards Yonge Street and then getting street meat.
I'm trying to think about what, was it near Shopsy's where that great hot dog place was, or is that somewhere else?
No, that's farther down. So that's, Shopsy's was...
Hall?
Yeah, that's Roy Thompson. So that's basically at the base of Young and Front. Massey Hall was literally across from the parking lot where you'd go in the up the underground parking, but it's above ground inside the Eaton Center. So that hall was on the
right. Okay.
It would be to your left as you're driving into the parking lot. And what a cool venue. I remember.
Well, those were
night.
All before me memories.
Yeah, it's funny because I was
saying...
If you
saw those things in 90 and 93, you didn't know me then.
No, no. But let's talk about Sarah McLachlan. She's kind of neat. And I didn't know she was partially deaf.
Well, I learned lots of new things about her last night. So a couple of fun facts.
Yeah.
Currently, all of her shows are canceled.
Yeah, she's got a voice problem right now.
Yeah, so her message on social media was that she had seen a vocal specialist and she has an acute case of laryngitis, and vocal rest is the most important thing she can do to heal her voice and be able to provide her music going forward. So she did provide a refund to all of her fans, and she does apologize, but she is taking a rest. And I also didn't know that she was partly deaf. We'll come back to that in a minute. But the other really interesting fact I learned about her is that she actually has a nonprofit music school that she runs in the province of British Columbia. So it is music education and mentorship at no cost to 1,000 at-risk and underserved children and youth in Vancouver, Surrey, and Edmonton.
So obviously Alberta too, right? So
yep.
Yeah, BC Alberta. That's kind of cool.
Right. It's very interesting. And what is really interesting is she covers 100% of the administrative costs personally for the school to run, so that any donations to this nonprofit can go into programming and instruments for the children.
Well, that's wild.
And she's been doing this for a really long time. And interesting that it is having some really marked results, because they have a statistic that 78% of the children who graduate her program go on to post-secondary education. However, only on average 49% of BC students go on to post-secondary education. So this is definitely having a positive impact to the children in that community.
Wow, that's wild.
I know.
I love that. That's amazing.
I love stats. I'm a little bit of a data nerd, as you know.
Yeah, so she also includes healthy snacks for the program and transportation costs as well. Like, I mean, this isn't just a little bit of teaching funding. This is the whole package. I'll be interested to find out. I wonder if anybody knows. You can send us a message on social and we can just look it up or whatever. Does she actually own the building too? Like, I wonder if she owns it all.
You sound like a real estate agent.
No, but it's just interesting, right? So, yeah. And then the other piece about it is her being deaf, right? Her mom had rubella.
Yes. So her mom had rubella during pregnancy, and she wasn't diagnosed with hearing impairment until she was in her 20s. I thought that was fairly interesting how she got along. And she was discovered by a Canadian record label when she was 17.
What? That's wild.
That is very young to be discovered. But there were lots of interesting facts. I don't know that much about her. All I know is she plays that sad SPCA song. So whenever I think of Sarah McLachlan, I think of the sad SP, whatever it is, the one about the animals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the one with the sad dogs that makes you cry?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That one. So we didn't pick that one to play for everyone today.
No, it's funny. I did play that at trivia one night.
Yeah, and everybody wrote the sad dog song.
Yeah, some people wrote sad dog song or wrote infomercial song. Not everybody actually knows the name of the song. But we did actually pick a really cool version, a collab between her and Cyndi Lauper.
Right. This is good.
Yeah, and I love Cyndi Lauper. And so this is a really cool version of Time After Time with Cyndi Lauper. So guys, enjoy this one. This is going to be cool.
Was really pretty.
Yeah, what's funny is when I was looking up some Sarah McLachlan songs, I saw she does a lot of really cool covers as well. So she doesn't just do her own stuff, but she does do some really cool covers. The song we were talking about with the sad puppy song from the SPCA, that's Angel. So if anybody wants to
be sad
or just think about Sarah McLachlan with puppies, it's Sarah McLachlan's Angel. Really cool song too. But let's move on, because today we got a really jam-packed show because we've got all this new stuff we're going to talk about. And we got Tom Cochran next on the deck.
Okay. So Tom Cochran is also a Canadian singer-songwriter, obviously. That's why he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. He was the front man for the rock band Red Rider, and he had a solo career. And he has won 8 Juno Awards, so he's very successful, obviously. He was the original writer of Life is a Highway. It's not a Disney Pixar song, although we all believe it is a Disney Pixar song. We'll get to that.
Is Cars actually Pixar, and is Pixar Disney? Because I kind of got in trouble for that last week when I was doing my Disney songs. I played Life is a Highway, and I'm pretty sure they told me Pixar is not Disney.
I don't know, and I wouldn't profess to know. I think Pixar was its own independent thing, and I think it got purchased by Disney, but I could be incorrect.
There was so many people like, and that's not Disney, and I'm like, you know what? It was Trolls. Or something. I played Trolls or something. They were like, that's not Disney, it's Pixar. And I turned to them and said, the fact that you know is a problem, actually.
Right. I don't know, and I wouldn't pretend to know.
No, I don't know either. And but I was just quite happy to play Justin Timberlake.
Life is a Highway, because it was from Cars, and that's how we all really well knew it. But it was actually originally written by Tom Cochran.
So I got to say, that song was a really huge hit for me during the 90s when I was doing weddings. It's still a big hit. I can play it.
1991.
Yeah. But it was really, like, it was a staple in my wedding kind of portfolio every week.
Is it still?
It is. So that's what I'm saying. It is. But I get more requests for it now with Rascal Flatts and for the kids at weddings. So, like, the moms and dads would be like, can you play, you know, Life is a Highway? And they're like, can you play the Cars version? So they specifically want the Cars version.
Yeah, of course.
Which is fine. I don't mind. I mean, good on him. He got his song.
Well, I'm sure he's getting nice residuals.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he is fine. Actually, where is he today is our next point. So he's actually an avid golfer. He's a pilot and a hockey buff. And he lives in Oakville, Ontario.
It's funny. I've never run into him. I'm in Oakville all the time.
Yeah. I don't think he goes to the Aviva office.
Yeah. Well, don't say that.
I said it. Sorry. To your insurance office. And he has a cottage in Georgian Bay. No shock there. I bet it's in Muskoka, on one of the super expensive islands.
Not in the Muskokas, but in Muskoka.
And you know where's better than Muskoka? Eastern Ontario. Yeah. You know who has a waterfront listing in Eastern Ontario?
Oh, here we go.
This lady.
Yeah, yeah. But he actually lives part-time in Austin, Texas as well.
Also, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. And he does have 2 daughters, and he's still continuing to perform. So good for him. He's a very active Canadian, and he's still popular. And then we're going to switch gears and talk a little bit about Rascal Flatts.
Well, it's funny because they actually cover his song in 2006, right, in the Cars movie. So that song had been kicking around for 15 years, and then it gets covered, and which is really cool. I love this song.
Oh, so do I as well.
And it's funny, it was kind of rejected by the country charts, from what I understand, when it first came out.
Yeah.
And they didn't like it, and I think they didn't like it because it was poppy. And at the time, that cross country kind of what I call cross country.
Taylor Swift started it.
Yeah, she did.
The crossover.
Yeah, absolutely. But that whole kind of cross country thing wasn't really well received, I don't think, in the country Nashville area. And now they're like, hey, yeah, come on.
Bring it on.
Yeah, yeah. So she's their most successful what I call cross country performer.
Over.
No, I call it cross country because it's just easier.
No. But that's okay. What I was going to add was that I forgot what I was going to add. That's good.
Well, honestly.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. So we were coming up for topics for the show one day in the car, and we were going to have a great debate about the greatest bands of all times. And we all know who yours is. And I think I landed on Rascal Flatts.
As the greatest band of all times?
For me. The greatest Sherry band for all time. Remember, we had this debate in the car. Yeah. You said I was crazy.
I still think you're crazy. I think you hit your
this
head.
This is when you figured it out that I was crazy?
No. But I'm saying if
figured
you
figured that
think,
out 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking if you think Rascal Flatts is the greatest band of all times, That in itself is just crazy.
That's a problem?
Yeah, well, it's not a problem. It's not a problem for me. It's a problem that you think they're the greatest band of all times. Well, I mean, they have great songs. Don't get me wrong. They have some fantastic songs.
You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the greatest band of all time, but maybe something that, like...
Is it something that resonates with you?
Well, I'm not allowed to say resonates anymore, remember?
Yeah, you're not. Actually, you say it a lot.
Yeah, you're also not allowed to say gig.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, we always have a debrief after the show about what words we each overuse. And Terry likes to say he gigs out. And I like to say that things resonate with me. So we picky swore that he would not say gig and I would not say resonate anymore.
That's why I say play out.
Well, it's better.
Yeah, yeah. But honestly.
Would you like to play Life is a Highway?
I would love to play Life is a Highway. We're playing the Tom Cochran version or are you going to play your favorite band
whatever
ever?
You have queued up.
I got Tom Cochran's.
All right.
One day and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand. Sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside the darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave heart, free lover's soul, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate. Break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Yeah.
CFRC 101.9 FM has new social media. Find us on Instagram and Facebook at CFRC Music and keep up with the latest announcements about our programming and projects. Follow us today at CFRC Music.
Gotta love me some Tom Cochran and
yes,
Red Ryder. So it's funny, when you look up a little bit of history about Red Ryder and Tom Cochran, you realize that they actually met at the El Macambo, which is like an iconic venue in Toronto. So anybody that's gone to see concerts, it's kind of like the where people kind of get their, you know, their bearing and being performing live. There's a couple of really cool venues like that. There's the Horseshoe, there's the El Macambo. Those are kind of those kind of venues that I think of for people that are just kind of going out on tour and stuff. And then you look at this and you go, oh, Tom Cochran and Red Ryder. They start off as Red Ryder, which is interesting. So from 78 to 86, they're just known as Red Ryder. And then in 86, he goes on to become Tom Cochran in Red Ryder, which is kind of funny. So he's been the lead man, the lead singer the whole time, but then he kind of steps forward and just it's really shows that it's his band at that point.
Yep.
And they're more of a back or the backing band or whatever. And then in 86 to 2002, and I think it's 2002 when he comes out with Mad Mad World. And he actually says from like that time until that album comes out, it was really easy to manage the success of the band. But in 2002, when Mad Mad World comes out, they blow up on the charts, and it becomes, they're crazy at that point. It almost feels like overnight success for them, I think, the way he describes it.
Right.
Even though it's not overnight.
It never is.
It never really is, and it's that 10,000 steps or those 10,000 laps or whatever they say you got to do that people never see what happens in the background. They just see, they don't think about all of the work it took to get there, right? There is no such thing, I don't think, as overnight success. Like Taylor Swift is huge, but she's been playing stadiums and bars and things for years.
Oh, for sure.
She's been honing her chops forever and ever. Yeah, so Mad World. Yeah, I was looking it up there. So Mad World comes out in 2002. And at that point, he actually says they get back together as a band. And well, that's pretty cool. I don't know. That whole thing about Tom Cochran and Red Ryder, I love. A really good Canadian success story. So the next person that's on the list is Diane Tell. And I got to be honest, when you sent this over to me, because you did the work this week and I appreciate it, I didn't know who Diane Tell was. I actually thought that you had written down somebody's wrong name, or it was like, I got to be honest, I know nothing about Diane Tell.
Nor did I until last night. So I will tell you what I learned. What I also learned is that all of her songs are in French, so we're actually not going to play you one of her songs because we wouldn't understand or appreciate it, but we do appreciate it, and we congratulate her in her induction to the Canadian
Canadian Music Writers Hall of Fame.
That place that she got inducted to. She is a Canadian musician who was born in Quebec. She entered Val d'Or Conservatory at the age of 6.
Yeah, I was going to say, she had...
That's really young.
Yeah, when you sent that through, I was like, man, she is... Again, one of these success phenoms. I'm going to listen to some of her stuff and maybe we'll play it on another day. I mean, for me, when I think about French artists, I just think about Roch Vizine. He's my favorite of all time.
I think it's because that's the only one you know.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I am probably right.
Yeah.
At any rate, she was first discovered at the age of 12. So good for her. And once again, congratulations to Diane Tell. And then we'll move on from there.
Yeah.
To talk about one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah, which is funny that you say that Rascal Flatts is your favorite, but when I think of you and I think of music and you ask me to play songs, it's always Blue Rodeo.
Well, I was trying to be a little diverse, but apparently I'm not.
No, you're...
That's a sound bite we probably don't want circulating.
No, but what I'm just saying is, as far as your music, like it's always... You love Blue Rodeo.
I do. The music is haunting. Jim Cuddy's voice is velvet. And as soon as you hear it, even the first couple of notes, you're right into some kind of place in memory lane. So I thought that it was great that they were inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I would love, like I always do, I'm excited to talk about Blue Rodeo.
Well, it's funny because when I think of Blue Rodeo, the first venue, tell me when I say the word Blue Rodeo and venue, what's the one?
Probably Kitabala.
Kitabala. Absolutely. I think you would think they owned it or had rights to it. I mean,
also Kim Mitchell was always at the Kitabala.
Oh, yeah. Kim Mitchell for sure. Absolutely. But more so in kind of the 90s for me. That was more late 80s, early 90s. I think 90s, 2000s, definitely Blue Rodeo. And it was funny because Kieran, our son, went to Kitubala, and I said, oh, you're going to see Blue. I was being a goof with him. I said, oh, you're going to see Blue Rodeo? And he's like, what? No.
No, wasn't I'm it going some hardcore rapper?
No,
or
he went to see Loud Luxury.
Who's that?
Yeah, they're Toronto guys. They're actually from Western. I think I talked about them before. They were two DJs from Western University. They met. They formed this DJ group at Western University in London. And then they went on to have massive success. And it's kind of funny because there's another DJ that's kind of just popping out of in the London area, also at Western. And Kieran's actually shooting a documentary on him right now.
Yes.
I'm not going to say who it is. So I'll just leave that alone. But he's shooting this documentary. And I think he performed to about 10,000 students at homecoming. So I'll see if we can get him on. That would be really cool. Maybe Kieran can arrange that to get us some seat time with him.
Sure he could. Let's talk about Blue Rodeo some more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in 1992, the band's song After the Rain was the most performed song in Canada, which is insane. By 1999, the band had sold more than 2 million albums.
That's just in Canada.
Right.
2 million albums in Canada. Now, they're a pretty famous band worldwide, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. And unfortunately, it did come to an end in that way because Greg Keeler ended up being exhausted and struggling with some hearing loss. So he wrapped it up, which was sad. And he was doing at that point like 30 concerts a year, and it was just too much for him to handle. Interesting fact, though, I did learn about Tim Cuddy, though, was he says that he asked his parents for a guitar when he was 10 because he wanted to be like Roy Rogers, which is funny. The first song that he learned was Gordon Lightfoot's That's What You Get for Loving Me. And he loved the idea of a little kid singing all of these love songs about love gone wrong. Then he realized that it was easier to write his own songs than to just try and learn other people's, which is very true. And he started to copy people and learn from people like Dylan, Jackson Brown, and Chris Christopherson until the British invasion arose. And then he started to really admire and work towards things like the Beatles and the Stones. And him and Greg Keeler had met in high school and became friends, but they didn't actually start playing music together and really putting their business together until they were in university, which they thought was a good time for a punk band. But as we know, the story goes, Blue Rodeo is not really a punk band.
No, not at all.
They are beautiful, though. There is a whole bunch of more information, but I really just want to hear the song. So why don't you go ahead and throw on the next song, which is Blue Rodeo.
Well, you got to come back to it, though, because there's some really cool stuff about Blue Rodeo on here. So I don't want you to skip over that because, we'll play the song. I have no problem playing
the song. We'll play the song in the middle. How's that?
Okay. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about them because the band is just phenomenal. So I don't want to skip over it.
Watching the rain through a crack.
song. That's so cool. So what'd you think of that one? I know you loved.
I love it. Every bit of it.
Yeah, I know you do. It's funny because when you were doing your research, you sent all the stuff around about it. And I was looking at it and it's funny. So in early 80s, the band actually takes off to New York City. It's not really a band at that point. It's basically just Keeler and Cuddy. And they head to New York City and they take an ad out in the, I think it was called The Voice, right? It's the Village Voice now, but it was The Voice at the time.
Okay.
And that's really where all bands and kind of indie stuff is done. And you can go to New York City and still find that magazine. It's had a few iterations, but it's still kicking around. And they put an ad and they actually call themselves Fly to France.
Okay.
So that's the name of their band that they started. I have no idea. They actually say it's a dumb name.
It is a dumb name.
It is a really dumb name. But anyway, and they played at the time. They were looking for new band members, but they start off by playing some ska music and reggae and that kind of. But they do everything. It's funny. So they do a bit of reggae, a bit of ska, a bit of rock music, some punk, kind of the whole thing. And it's funny. He actually says in the article that you provided was, he actually said it was pretty futile. Like what they did was kind of dumb. And their manager made a lot of dumb decisions. They brought in record companies of people that weren't really interested in them. He wasn't sure why they did all this stuff. And his manager then just disappears. And they decide, you know, we've had enough of this. So at that point, they actually, him and Greg sit down with a band. I think it was a New Zealand band. Yeah. So at that point, it was a band from New Zealand and they're called The Dragones.
Okay.
And they get them to help write a demo. So they sit down and they decide they're going to write their own songs. They're done playing covers and ska and punk and rock covers. And they actually write Try, Floating, Outskirts, and Rose Colored Glasses. And when that's done, they literally move back to Toronto and they change their name. And around the mid 80s, they start putting stuff out on cassettes. And it's funny. I talked last week about called a yellow cassette. And it's so funny. One of the guys from the team is, doesn't matter. I'll come back. The team name will remind. He has the cassette from the Bare Naked Ladies where they were self-producing their own cassettes. So it's so funny. He stopped me last week to say, hey, man, I have that cassette from the Bare, which is really cool for me. So I'm hoping he can find it and then post it on social media so he could put it up on Instagram and Facebook. Because for me, that takes me back. So when bands actually did self-promotion, it's funny now that actually Taylor Swift is actually, she's selling single CDs at her concert. So she's selling CDs again at her concerts. I know a big thing right now is artists were selling albums. Like the last couple Ed Sheeran concerts we went to, I bought his album, overpriced. Thank you, Ed Sheeran. But I had to have them. And, you know, I know you're
making a face. Yeah, she's making really a face. Need to have it.
I did have to have
it. I don't think we've ever played it.
Oh, I have. It's funny because I didn't want to open it, but then I wanted to open it because there were some songs on there that were demos and there was different covers and versions of it that I guess if I looked on the internet, I could have found them as well.
Probably.
I probably shouldn't have opened it, but I did. There's nothing better than the sound, and for me, than a piece of vinyl, that crackly, crispy sound. And for me, it's just, I don't know, it's better.
It's authentic.
Yeah. So it's funny. Warner Music gets signed, signs Blue Rodeo at that point when they get back in the mid 80s. And they have a really good time. And in my opinion, I think for you, that should be your band of
the greatest bands of all times.
For me. Yeah. It's funny.
Well, we're going on a road trip this weekend that we're about to talk about soon, so we can debate it in the car and we can let the listeners know next week what we land on for Sherry's greatest band of all times.
Yeah, it's funny. Blue Rodeo, they talk about, you know, where they went in their journey, and they didn't go back to New York City till 1984. So literally almost 10 years after leaving. So they go down in 81. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say how long they stayed there. It says in the mid 80s, they come back and they start their their journey as a band as Blue Rodeo. They're no longer known as Fly to France, which again,
thankfully.
I don't know where they came up for that name. It's really, really, it's a weird name for a band for Blue Rodeo. Now that you think of who they are, Blue Rodeo, I don't know where, maybe it meant something to them at the time. Maybe they wanted to fly to France, but it's just a weird name. I should look that up where that comes from. It's got to have some meaning. Let's talk about where we're going this weekend.
Okay, let's talk about our weekend. So let's start with Friday night. What's happening on Friday night, Terry?
Friday night is the British invasion. So for all the people that are playing trivia with me, we've got some new reservations. You can send us a message on Facebook, or I guess you can DM us on Instagram.
Don't do that. I don't read those messages.
Yeah, I don't either. So maybe don't do that.
How about send us an email?
Yeah, send us an email or send us a Facebook message. That
yeah,
we do check.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to be at the Loaf and Ale because it is a British pub.
The one on Gardner's.
The one on Gardner's. Don't go to the one on Napanee. They'll have no idea what's going on.
That's right.
But go to the one in Gardner's. We're going to be there from 7 to 11. We're taking it over. It's going to be a great night. Derek and his team have actually put together a trivia kind of food package menu for us. So we've got some stuff that, you know, they've got the regular menu. You can order off that if you want to get a big steak. But they've got some trivia menu. It's called the trivia menu. So there's going to be like deep fried cheese curds. There's going to be chicken wings. There's nachos. There's burgers. There's all sorts of stuff on it. And it'll be nice, quick, good, wholesome, warm stuff. Maybe not wholesome, but
not healthy. Those didn't sound like any healthy options. I don't go to trivia though looking for a salad.
Yeah, so, well, they do have them, and they have gluten-free options too for those people that are gluten-free. What's funny is when we decided we had finished negotiating getting things all together with the Loaf and Ale, I went and I ate in the restaurant for 4 days, so I've eaten there 4 times, and I've got to tell you, I've been full every time. So their portions are big. They're really reasonably priced. I went there for Sunday dinner with your mom, actually. Yeah, yeah. We went for roast beef dinner, and your mom couldn't finish it. I ate hers. You know, thanks, Barb. But it was good. The food was fantastic, and it wasn't overpriced. It was really, really good value for money. The chicken fingers, when I went there for lunch, it was like so much chicken fingers and fries. And I looked down at the plate and I went, yep, challenge accepted. And it was a lot. It was, like I said, food fantastic. I've had quite a few different things there now. So I'm looking forward to being there with everybody tomorrow night. I'll be there from about 4 o'clock on. So if you want to show up early, have some dinner and hang out. Tomorrow night's music is all going to be British Invasion.
Ooh, I just remembered what I'm doing tomorrow. That's super exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am. So we have shared that our daughter is engaged and she's getting married New Year's Eve 2025. And tomorrow we get to pick up her wedding dress.
Yeah, that's wild.
I'm very excited about that. So she and I, her future mother-in-law and my mother, so her grandmother, are taking a road trip to Toronto tomorrow to pick up the wedding dress. That's a big day. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
I will be at the Loaf and Ale after that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be there early setting up. We've got a really cool setup. It's going to be the same. We're actually doing, instead of, so most of the breweries where we've done stuff before would give away 6 packs because of their product. Mm-hmm. This time we're giving away $20 gift cards for the winning teams in each round for future food or drink at the place.
Interesting.
Yeah, and there's going to be some new promo stuff coming out. We're still finishing up our tournament. I hope to have the scores up this week. We'll get it done over the weekend. How's that? I promise.
Will we?
I hope so.
We have a busy weekend.
I know, but we'll try.
Okay. So what are we doing Saturday?
So Saturday we're going to see Morrissey. I'm so pumped. I've been waiting for this concert for so long. He's been in the South. So he'd be doing some festivals and stuff down South. And I never went to any of them because it was just, they were like New Mexico, California. They were just so far to go for, to see. There was a lot of bands I didn't want to see on the festival roster, but I am so pumped that I'm going to get to see Morrissey again. It's been so long since I've seen him perform live, and I looked at his set list, and it's like he's doing all of my favorites. He's doing some songs that are, you know, that I'd forgot that even existed. So
I'm excited for a couple of reasons. One, he's not Evanescence.
Oh, stop.
So it's got to be better than the last concert you took me to. The other reason is, it is in Rochester, you said?
Yeah.
So we are going down on Saturday to enjoy the day, and I think we'll do some early Christmas and birthday shopping. We have Christmas and birthdays coming up in our family, and there's got to be Black Friday sales coming. They always do Boxing Day way before Boxing Day, and I know they do Black Friday way before Black Friday as well.
Don't forget, they've got Thanksgiving coming up next week.
I know, that's why I'm saying they'll have early Black Friday sales,
yeah,
which is great.
I miss, one of the most important things one of the greatest things that I miss about Kieran not racing anymore is actually going down to Florida the last week of November every year. We would go down and we'd race in Minios, and you would have all of the big teams would sponsor a dinner one night. But the biggest one was obviously Thursday night on Thanksgiving. They'd have this big Thanksgiving dinner with all the riders and all the racers and their families. And that just kind of, and you'd sit there and you'd smell race fuel and just be amongst everybody.
And turkey?
And turkey. It was so much fun. So that's a memory for me that I love about the American Thanksgiving is spending that time with Kieran and all of the other riders. So
it's funny. Our American friends say it drives them crazy when we say American Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Also when we say US dollars.
Yeah.
So we have some friends that are from the US obviously. And whenever we are with them and we're spending money, we say, oh my goodness, that's $100 US. And they're like, why do you have to say that every time? Because it's 35% more for me is why I have to say that every time.
Yeah, you know what also freaks them out is when I put vinegar on stuff.
Yes, and how many times you can use the F word in a sentence.
Oh, I can use it a lot.
You're really good in this hour.
I am. Trust me. I think about it.
You're doing
it's all
well.
Good. Yeah, no, I know. I know.
So we're going to do some early shopping on Saturday. We're going to spend the night in a hotel Saturday night. We're going to go see Morrissey. You've promised me that I'm going to get a better dinner than a raw hot dog, which is what I also got last time when we went to see Morrissey.
And no, actually, not when we went to see Morrissey. We went to see Evanescence.
Evanescence, sorry.
Yeah.
I also wasn't even feeling well on that night. So hopefully I will still be spry. I'm feeling great now. So that is good. And then we're coming home Sunday morning, and I actually have a great open house.
Yeah, you do.
I made mention of, I have a waterfront property available right on the St. Lawrence, and it is in Mallorytown, just off of the Thousand Island Parkway. So we are going to come over the border and go east instead of going west to home. And I invite everyone to come to my open house. It is at 6 Vanston Road in Mallorytown. It is a beautiful waterfront property. And Terry and I will be there, as well as my favorite mortgage agent, who is Karen Mathey. It's always great to have lots of resources around and lots of people to secure the home, make sure everybody gets the most visibility. And let's get this sold for these people. They'd like to move into their next chapter.
Yeah. So
then we're going to come home and fall down.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What we do mostly.
Yeah. So with moving to the Lofanel, I just want to promote a few things that's going on there. So
there's a lot of things going
there
on.
There is. So we have our event that we're doing with Dennis and the Boys and Girls Club of Kingston, and that's on November 23rd. So I'll be there all day. There's multiple bands. There's multiple singer-songwriters. Sonia is going to be there, who's fantastic. If anybody hasn't actually heard Sonia sing, she's incredible.
We played her on one of our first episodes.
Yes, Inferno. I think we probably played Inferno, which is a cool, cool song. But next week at Lofanel, they actually also have a toy drive. So LNA Mutual, our good friend Mark Riley from LNA Mutual, is doing the first annual Kingston Holiday Toy Drive and Music Montage.
Ooh.
Sorry, Music Marathon.
Will we be attending that?
We will not.
Where will we be? Next weekend? I don't know.
No, this weekend.
Oh, this weekend.
Yeah,
sorry.
This weekend.
I thought it was the next weekend.
No.
Okay.
It's this Saturday.
Okay.
At the Lofanel. So we're not going to be there. We're going to be in
Are they
the
also
States.
Doing that Pictures with Santa thing?
Yeah. Okay. So they're going to be doing, so you can bring your kids, listen to some tunes, have some great food. Think about how bad it was that you missed my trivia the night before if you weren't there, and come hang out and listen to some bands. And then next week, I will be there Friday and Saturday because we're doing the music for all the bands, so you can come hang out and we can...
You're going to be there all weekend.
I am going to be there all weekend. Guys, I want to play Summer of 69.
Okay. I also have to... play a PSA first. We haven't hit our PSA quota yet.
You do your PSA.
So let me play that, then you play Summer 69, and then we'll come back and chat just a little tiny bit more.
Sounds good.
Queen's University has a club called Queen Starts With Youth. We create events on campus virtually and or in person to support survivors and raise awareness about abuse and intergenerational trauma. By creating awareness on child abuse, it sets the boundaries of what is acceptable in society in the treatment of these victims and further how to treat your own children. This platform at Queen's University is crucial for victims of abuse to establish that everyone has the right to live in a safe and healthy environment. This club offers resources and support for victims on campus. Follow our Instagram, StartsWYouthQueens, for more information and to get updated on upcoming events and workshops. In addition, if you need guidance or support, email us at startswithyouth@clubs.queens.ca.
I got my first real six string, blow it out the fire. till my fingers bled. Was it summer of 69? Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit, Jody got married. Should've known we'd never get far. Oh, when I look back now, the summer seemed to last forever. And if I had the choice, yeah, I'd always wanna be there. Those were the best days of my life. Hey. Ain't no use in complaining when you got a job to do. Spend my emails down at the job and that's when I met you, yeah.
Another iconic song, in my opinion, for Mr. Bryan Adams. And just kind of goes along with that whole feel that we have when you think about, like, Blue Rodeo. That,
summer.
Yeah. Just concerts in general, right? So let's talk about the CFRC funding drive, guys. It's going on right now. And you can actually donate. And if you donate enough, so you can donate $5, $10, $25, $50. But if you donate $250 and you actually donate it towards our show, it's not going to our show, just so you know. It's actually just going to the overall expenses of the radio station, making sure we can still stay on the air, keep, you know, programming available to you. But if you donate $251, so anything over $250, you can get on air with us and do a one-hour show. Yeah, it would be great. Okay. So I would love people to donate specifically to our show. And here's what I'll say to you. Anybody that donates $250 to the show, I'll match it.
Excellent. That's very generous.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
No, I think it's fantastic. Yeah. It's a great cause. We love being here. We know that this is great space. It's been around for 50 years, so that's awesome. It's a legacy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that there's a button where you can just say my favorite show is, and of course we want to win because we're competitive and we want to be everybody's favorite show.
Yeah, so you just literally go to the CFRC banner, you hit donate now, you scroll down, and there's great options. So If you donate $10 to $25, let me just tell you exactly here what you get. You get a CFRC sticker, a pen.
You can also have a 30 years of nonsense sticker.
Yeah, you can have a 30 years of nonsense sticker. I'll give you one if you come and ask me. I'll give you a 30
years. I would give you one anyway.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then if you donate $26 to $50, you get a CFRC tote bag, some cork coasters, a raffle ticket for every $5. So they're actually doing some really good prizes as well. So the radio station has some really good partners around town. So they're actually have donated a lot of really great prizes as well.
I see Smokes Poutine on there. And everyone likes a little poutine.
Well, everybody likes a little.
You like a lot of poutine.
I do. So $50 to $99, you get a coupon. All the stuff that you get in the first section. And then you get Smokes Poutinery. Raffle ticket again for every $5 you donate. And then when you do it again from 100 to 250, you get your choice of a toque, some playing cards, a t-shirt, while supplies last, of course. And then when you get to that 251, that's when you get a bunch of free tickets, 1 hour guest spot with you and your pals, and you can join us on air. So, and you guys, we'll actually let you pick the songs as well.
Ooh, that would be fun.
So that'll be a lot of fun. So if you guys, one of the teams at Loaf and Ale, if you guys, for our trivia, if you guys want to cobble together $251, put it against our show.
We better be careful if our friends do that, because they could out a lot of our nonsense.
Yeah, well.
We do have a lot of nonsense.
Yeah, we do. But anyway, I would love to challenge one of the teams to donate $250, and I'll match it. Okay. So $251, so we'll match it. I'm not going to match every team that does it, but the winning team, we'll match it.
Okay.
We'll do up one team for sure. And then we've got some other stuff that we'll give away as well. So some 30 years of nonsense swag. So guys, we would love you to do that and donate to CFRC. We love being on air. I love being on air with you, Sherry.
Thanks. I love doing this with you as well.
Yeah, so,
it's fun.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I'm going to finish off the day with a little bit of Morrissey.
Okay.
And because we're going to see him this weekend, and then we can report back next week. Next week, we are going to play a little bit of Taylor Swift. We didn't do it today, but it is going to be, and we're also going to do a round of Taylor Swift next week at Trivia. So it's going to be all Taylor Swift. So automatically you get 20 points.
That one's for Christine.
It is. It's for Christine and Tina for sure. And then all Erica's daughter, who also loves to come and play some head-to-head Taylor Swift. So a little bit of Taylor Swift theme stuff next week for sure. But this one, I've got a little bit of A Hairdresser on Fire by Morrissey. Really funny little song. And thanks, guys. Have a great night. I've only got a few seconds of it, but stay frosty and we'll see you next week.
Stop saying that.
Here is London, giddy London.